Okay, so 1 Kings chapter 11, and we left off last week in kind of the halfway through the message, so we're going to continue that today, although I've tweaked the title a little bit, although they clearly go hand in hand. Last week we talked about sheltering in Jesus, right, and we're learning some lessons from King Solomon's life, and unfortunately, Solomon proves to be, especially in his later years, kind of a lesson more in what not to do, right? And there's lives like that, lives you can look to. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And certainly we can, many, many great men of God that we can look to. Solomon starts off strong and ends up not so much. And so, but there's lessons for us, and I love that about God's word, that it's so real and so transparent. There's lessons for us to learn in many cases about from people about what to do and others about what not to do. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 17, God had instructed the nation of Israel, or really shared with the nation of Israel, what some things that would transpire, right, as they had kings, and had outlined specifically some things that kings shouldn't do, and of course exhorted the nation and kings collectively and individually, right, of what to do and what not to do. We are to seek the Lord. We're to obey his statutes. We're to follow him. And we're not to do certain other things. And some of those things that kings were specifically instructed not to do were to acquire horses, to acquire multiple wives, and a number of other things that unfortunately we see in Solomon's life, he does that. And so we talked about kind of seeing this continued demise. And of course, it didn't start with getting a whole bunch of horses, and it didn't start with gathering, you know, 1,000 wives. It started in his heart, right? His heart straying away from devotion to God. And that led to poor decisions, really to disobedience at the end of the day, just kind of calling it what it is. And yet God in his grace, still reaching out. We saw Solomon had the unique blessing of two kind of what you might call special appearances, right? One at the beginning of his reign as king, and then another about 20-ish years later after he had built the temple and he had built his house. And we see throughout in that message that God gives to him by kind of a special visitation, right? He encourages him to walk in his statutes, right? He reiterates the promise he made to David, right, and encourages him to walk in his statutes like his father did. And again, I love to point that out because we know David wasn't perfect, but David was a repentant man, right? When he realized things that he did that he shouldn't do, he was quick to repent, which literally means to change. Repent is the idea of 180-degree, I'm going in this direction, now I'm going in this direction, right? And I love the Apostle Paul later will say, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on towards those things which are ahead, right? And again, that encouragement to just press on, follow the Lord, stay close to the Lord, forget about the things of the past. David did that, and he did it often, right? And I appreciate that about God's word and about King David's heart. He was so repentant. It's a great model for us to follow. Unfortunately and tragically, Solomon didn't. And so we saw last week that God wonderfully blesses those who follow him, and that it's important to guard our heart from being distracted away from his plan for us. Solomon, in fact, didn't guard his heart, and he was, in fact, distracted. In spite of these special appearances that he had, that most, you know, we have God's word, and we have God's spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Solomon had these two kind of special blessings, but he still fell away. And to me, and we kind of left off talking about the fact that it's super important, and Solomon certainly is a great example of the truth, that it's super important to have our relationship with the Lord, right, just a consistent and a steady walk with the Lord. And walk means our relationship, our interaction with the Lord, to be steady and to be consistent, you know, and not based upon experience or based upon emotion, right? Solomon, if it was simply based upon experience, right, man, that he had these radical opportunities that most don't have the opportunity of having, right? But, and we'll talk a little bit about this today, about the importance of what God calls us to as followers of His is to be faithful, right? It is required of a servant to be found faithful. And so I'm super grateful for those great experiences, right? We call them mountaintop experiences. Perhaps we go on a retreat, right? And you get away. And I was kind of bummed earlier this year to miss the men's retreat. Love going out with the brothers and meeting with other brothers from other Calvaries across the Midwest. And but we do have an opportunity in September. I think the 18th is the Friday, that for all of us as a church family to go down to Missouri and gather with other Calvary chapels in the area. Hope everybody marks your calendar and goes with us. That Friday night and Saturday. But to get together in those mountaintop experiences, and God gives us those for good reason. They're encouraging. They're a blessing. But we can't just rely on that, right? It's not one mountaintop experience to the other. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," right? Those are in between the mountaintops, right? The valleys that sometimes we walk through. It's important to just be focused on the Lord, right? Knowing that God is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And I'm super grateful also for emotions, right? Emotions are a blessing, and God's given us emotions, and He's given us the opportunity to be passionate about things. But again, neither one of these things, our experience or our emotion, should drive our relationship with the Lord. What needs to drive our relationship with the Lord is God's word, right? Being faithful to God's word. In fact, we read that God holds His word even above His name. And so jump with me real quick over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, check this out. We read, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Listen, "who was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he built the house," or excuse me, he who built the house has more honor than the house. "For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God." Right? It all kind of goes back to God. "And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." So it's important to grab the fact that God is faithful to us, right? And as a result of God being faithful to us, we can be faithful to Him. And it's important for us to be faithful to Him, right? But the cool thing is that it all comes from the Lord. We're empowered, we're strengthened, right? God has given us what we need, and we ask daily, we've talked about that, being filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit, that we have what we need in the person of Christ, because God is faithful. Even when we're not faithful, God is faithful to us. And I absolutely love and appreciate that about the Lord. And we see here in Hebrews that God is faithful. Moses was faithful to the Lord, and a great example for us of faithfulness. And the way that we're faithful to the Lord is by obedience, right, to His word, following His word. When we come to that place where we realize we've fallen short, we repent, like David was repentant, right? And we rest, we shelter in God's grace, right? That's what we titled the message today, Shelter in Grace. In fact, I saw a friend of mine had posted that term. I'm not sure if he used it as a message or was just talking about sheltering in grace. Love the picture. And it goes hand in hand with our message last week of sheltering with Jesus, right? And so jump with me also over to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And in verse 23, we read that his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And so again, we see Jesus, right, commending for faithfulness. In fact, this, of course, is after the parable of the talents, where they're all given a set number of talents, right? And that decision isn't ours to make. That's from the Lord, right? God's given you certain gifts. He's given me certain gifts, you know? And so what level or type or kind of gifting isn't up to us, but what is up to us is to make the most out of it, right? Whatever place in life God has given us, to do the best that we can to bring glory to him, to be faithful to him and faithful to his word, to, if you will, shelter in Jesus and shelter in the grace of God and enjoy that interactive relationship with him, right? A lot of people talk about religion. Are you religious? And the idea, and the truth is, though, in Christ, we're not called into a religion, but we're called into a relationship, a personal relationship. Jesus said in John chapter 15, which, by the way, will be there in a couple weeks on Wednesday night. We were in John 14 this week. We'll spend another week or so there. But nevertheless, in John 15, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. I love that about the Lord, right? And so we can shelter and we can rest in the grace of God. We're all entrusted with a certain level of gifting, a certain level of talent. And as a result, we have the opportunity to give it back to the Lord and to live wholeheartedly for him with whatever he has given us, whatever skills, abilities, what have you, to use it to bring glory to the Lord. And we do that by just resting in him. And then, as we talked about previously, right, those good works, right, where we are his workmanship, his masterpiece, if you will. He calls you, by the way, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared for us to walk in. We just walk in that. And so, when we saw also last week, you know, we talked about the importance of guarding against old habits creeping in and distracting us. And so let's pick it up here and back in our study in 1 Kings in chapter 11 and in verse 26. So then Solomon's servant Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite from Zerida, whose mother's name was Zariah, a widow, also rebelled against the king. So this is, right, we talked about those adversaries of his who had started stirring up trouble. And so his servant Jeroboam, and this is what caused him to rebel against the king. Solomon had built the Milo and repaired the damages of the city of David, his father. The man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph. So he had been a faithful servant and raised up. And then now it happened, verse 29, at the time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, met him on the way and had clothed himself with a new garment, and the two were alone in the field. Then Ahijah took hold of the new garment that was on him, and he tore it into 12 pieces. Of course, we'll see that's representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to you. So he's prophesying that Jeroboam is going to become the king of the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. Verse 32, but he shall have one tribe. Behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give 10 tribes to you. But he, that is Solomon, shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David. Don't you love that? Another picture of the grace of God and God's faithfulness to us, even when we're not faithful, right? Because of his promise to David, in spite of Solomon's unfaithfulness, God is faithful to his word and he's faithful to his people. So he says he's going to leave a tribe for the sake of his servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth, goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the people of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to keep what is right in my eyes and keep my statutes and my judgments as did his father David. Again, right, what is God choosing to remember about King David? His faithfulness. I love that because David was a repentant man. We don't get that idea with Solomon. In fact, we see the opposite, right? That the kingdom is, in fact, being torn out of his hand by the grace of God, not all of it. because of God's promise to King David. However, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand because I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, who I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. Don't you love that? Right? We know that he didn't do it perfectly, but he was repentant, right? When he got off course, he just came back to following the Lord. And I love that. And maybe you today find yourself off course a little bit. Maybe you find yourself perhaps distracted from the things of God. Maybe it's because of this pandemic that we find ourselves in, right? Things are different, you might say. You know, I'm not able to get together with my Christian friends like I used to, or you know, I lost my job maybe, or, you know, relationships are different today. And maybe you found yourself a little distracted from the Lord, or maybe it predates the pandemic. Maybe things were so good, right, which we saw previously, can also be a distraction from following the Lord. And things were so good that, you know, I was distracted from the things of God. I was caught up into the things of this world, and now it's become even harder to get back on track. Well, I want to encourage you today to do that, right? To just yield yourself afresh to the Lord. It doesn't matter how far off we get. I love a song by an old rock and roll, Christian rock and roll band, Petra. So grateful for them when I got saved, because I was way into that rock and roll kind of thing. And Petra was one of those bands that, man, they jam. And, you know, one of their songs is, "So you say you've walked 10,000 steps away. Don't you know it's only one step back," right? Just turn that thing that the Apostle Paul, right, says, forget those things which are behind and press on towards those things which are ahead into the higher call of God in Christ Jesus. And so I would encourage you this morning, if you find yourself in that place, you find yourself distracted from the things of God, do what King David did and repent, right? We've seen times in his life where it took, you know, over a year in some cases, right? At least a couple different times that come to mind right away. Other times maybe quicker, right? But still the opportunity to repent. And so I love that about that he sees King David as a man who had kept his commandments and the statutes, and that's because of his commitment to him and to, from David's perspective, the coming Messiah, right, in whom we now can rest because of what he did for us on the cross, right? The price is paid for our sin. So as we shelter in Jesus, as we shelter in the grace of God, we can enjoy that great interaction and fellowship with the Lord, and be like David, who God calls a man after his own heart. Right, who God says here, because he kept my commandments and my statutes. The only way that can possibly be explained is because what we call being in Christ, right? We see this reference to being in Christ, right? David's faith was in the coming Messiah, of course, at the time, right? Our faith is in the Messiah who has come and who is going to come again. And so, but we find ourselves in Christ. And when you are in Christ, which is why I so strongly encourage you to come to Christ if you haven't, because when you're in Christ, when God sees you, he sees Jesus, and then he can say this about you, whom I chose, my servant Steve, who's not perfect by any stretch, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. Because the only way he can say that about me, believe me, is because he sees Jesus, right? And the same can be true for you as it is for me and as it is for King David. But I will take the kingdom, verse 35, out of his son's hand and give it to you, 10 tribes, right? So speaking to Jeroboam. And to his son I will give one tribe, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name there. So, of course, Judah, right, in the southern kingdom, and then that located in the area of Benjamin. So you have the northern kingdom, and then Judah who reigned in the southern kingdom, and the location there of Benjamin. So I'll take you, verse 37, and you shall reign over all your heart's desires, and you shall be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you. And by the way, Jeroboam is not getting this because of his faithfulness to the Lord, and we're going to see that, right? It's really out of a judgment, right? God's judgment. And again, as I've talked about before, I believe with all my heart that if at any point Solomon would have got on his face and repented, it's very possible that God would have changed course. We see that pattern throughout scriptures, right? Where I was just talking with some people this week about the book of Revelation. And one amazing picture of God's grace in Revelation, very similar to what we see during the plagues in Egypt, right? God's judgment on the earth, God's judgment on the nation of Israel, right? Or excuse me, on the nation of Egypt, right? In which God releases Israel and Israel is born. In the midst of judgment, right? Severe judgment, right? Tragic circumstances. God's grace in this similar phrase in both periods of time, and we read about them rather quickly, but they were periods of time. There's this phrase that in spite of what was going on, yet they would not relent. Very similar wording in both instances. That speaks to me of God's heart, even when he comes to a point of correction. Now, that's what little j judgment is basically correction, God wanting to correct us. Even when he comes to a point of judgment, his hope is that we would relent, that we would repent, right? And just get back on track. So wherever you find yourself this morning, let me encourage you. If you find yourself off track, just get back on track, right? And get back into sheltering in the amazing and the wonderful and the precious and the powerful love and grace of God. I'm so grateful that God's mercies are new every morning, right? And the idea there isn't like, okay, you know, it's whatever time, 10:30. All right, I've blown it. Got to wait till 6 a.m. tomorrow. That's not the idea, right? The idea is that it's always new, always fresh. I love that, right? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That word new, I'm no Greek scholar, but I looked it up. That word new has that idea of freshness, always new. We think of new and then something becomes old. But a new creation that you can be in the Lord Jesus Christ is not something that is new or becomes old, right? I mean, our bodies maybe, right? Yesterday we had the blessing of going out for a bike ride. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. Ashley's in town. And so we sort of fixed up an older bike, right? Becky and I were blessed last year to pick up a couple of new bikes. And these things are nice. You can have all sorts of gears, and even you know, out of shape people like myself can get on and do okay going up hills. So we were going south on Grand from EP2 Railroad, and there's a little bit of an incline. I mean, in all fairness, there's a little bit of an incline there, but you know, we've got our multiple gears to go through, and so I was a little concerned about Ashley, and because she was riding an older bike, and we get up this incline, and I go, hey, how'd you do on the hill? And she's like, what hill? I'm like, well, that hill. Yeah. I look back and it really wasn't that much of a hill. I was a little bit tired though. I forget where I'm going with this, but I'm sure it was relevant. But anyways, you know, just the great blessing of being in Christ and the wonderful opportunities and the wonderful things that we have the privilege to do, no matter how far, right, you find yourself off track, just get back on track, right, and come into that. Oh, I know, the newness, right? There's a difference, you know. Ashley's young legs were like, what hill? And so whether new or not so new, right, in Christ, we're constantly new. And I love that about the Lord. See, I told you it related. And so God's faithfulness, and I'm so grateful that God is always faithful to his word and to his people, right? He's always faithful. And so it's always a good time to follow him. In Jeremiah chapter 31, we read, "The Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Because we know God is faithful to his word, right? We know that that is true, right? He draws us with his loving kindness. He draws us with his mercy, with his grace, right? And I'm so grateful. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance, God's word said. There's many who might try to draw us with fear, and certainly that works for some people, and in some cases it can be important, right? But the reality is God's mercy changes everything, and I love that about the Lord. And so it's important for us to stay close to the Lord, right? Be faithful to the Lord through his word, which is the primary way in which God talks to us, is the Bible. Anything that he says to us maybe speaks to our heart. Anything that a brother or sister tries to share with you, thus saith the Lord, it'll always be consistent with the word of God. Right, so super important. The primary way God speaks to us is through his word. And the primary way we talk to the Lord is through prayer. Right, and so important to draw near to him. It's a fellowship, right? Be in with one another. And admittedly, that's a little different right now. Maybe it takes a little more effort. We have to be a little more intentional. But nevertheless, fellowship with other believers, right? Serving and sharing God's love. Right, again, that looks a little different today in the era of COVID-19, right? But nevertheless, I would suggest absolutely important and necessary, right, to reach out to others, to love on others. Jump with me over to Psalm 138. You might wonder, Steve, you talk an awful lot about God's word. And, you know, at Calvary Chapel, we just place such a focus on God's word. Well, there's many reasons for that, right? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he dwelt among us, right? And so the Word, you know, is God. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ himself, who now became man and dwelt among us. But look in Psalm 138 and verse 2 says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. I love that. Loving, his loving kindness and his truth, absolutely tied together. And look at the rest there. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Right? God has magnified his word above his name. So important that we become men and women of the word, right? From wherever we're at today. Right, you might feel like I have a lot to learn. I feel like I have a lot to learn. I'm so grateful. I remember when I was feeling called and wanted to go to the School of Ministry, and I was sitting with our assistant pastor at the time, and who had been through the School of Ministry, and I said, "Yeah, you know, I want to go to school because I two things really. I want to get closer to Jesus and learn more about him, and I want to know the Bible, like Joe is his name." And I remember him saying, I still want to as well, right? In other words, we always have the opportunity to learn. I've shared about one of the things we got to do in School of Ministry was listen to the entire Bible with Pastor Chuck and back then on tape. And also we listened to one weekly service for those who attended there. You know, they just listened on Sunday or Wednesday or whenever they went. And then for those of us who went to other churches, we listened on the radio. And I remember Chuck being in Matthew chapter 5 and saying, I've never seen this before. And he was teaching his eighth time, believe it or not, through the Bible. Teaching, not just reading, teaching through the Bible his eighth time. And in Matthew 5, kind of a go-to passage, right? The Sermon on the Mount, he said, I've never seen this before. I love that about God's word. It's always new. It's always fresh. Always opportunity to learn. And so God has exalted his words. Someone said, A name is only as good as the word of the person behind that name, right? It's our word. It's God's word, right? He magnifies above his name. And if our name, right, our name denotes certain characteristics about us, certain things about us, he goes on and he says, a man's name is esteemed when his word is good, right? Your word matters. In our culture today, integrity and honor and character don't matter to some people, but it matters to God, and it should matter to us, right? A man's name, he says, inherently communicates the integrity of that man. And I think that is so important and so true, and perhaps helps us to kind of wrap our mind a little bit around why God exalts his word above his name, because our word is so important. God's word is good. God's word is true. God's word is reliable. And as we draw near to him through his word, and we shelter in Jesus by walking in his word, and we shelter in the grace of God by relying on his word, how else do we know? 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do we know that? We know that because of God's word. So important. Matthew Henry, in fact, I love to read Matthew Henry. He says, God made himself known to us in many ways, in creation and in providence, right? The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And clearly and certainly God has made, Matthew is right, God has made himself known to us in many ways in creation and providence. But listen to this, most clearly by his word. The judgments of his mouth are magnified even above those of his hand, and greater things are done by them, by his word. The wonders of grace exceed the wonders of nature. Where do we learn of the grace of God? In his word. And Matthew Henry says, the wonders of grace exceed the wonders of nature, as phenomenal, right, as nature is, as phenomenal as the universe which God created is. The wonders of grace exceed that. And what is discovered of God by revelation through his word is much greater than what is discovered by reason. In what God had done for David, his faithfulness to his work appeared more illustriously and redounded more to his glory than any other of his attributes. Some good interpreters understand it as of Christ, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, right? The essential Word and of his gospel, which are magnified above all the discoveries of God, had before made of himself to the fathers. And he concludes, he that magnified the law and made that honorable magnifies the gospel much more. Right? The hope that we have in the Word of God, right? The truth, because we can rely upon that. We can cling to that. Right? There's so much uncertainty right now. There's so many different views of things. And there's so much, I'll be honest with you, just simple speculation, right, about the future. And you can't, everybody has their data. Everybody has their rationale, right? This school and that facility or what have you, right? But when it comes to the future, there's a lot we don't know. Right? I look forward to when we do know more. What is the true mortality rate? I don't know. We'll find out, right? Time will give us a better as the data sample, right? The law of large numbers, as the data samples get larger, we'll have a better idea. But we don't know today. It's foolish, right? Those who minimize the urgency of this time, the perilous nature, the danger that is surrounding us, you know, at this time. But it's also foolish, those who I think would, you know, have us lock ourselves in a closet, right? Certainly there's some in between. So there's a lot of uncertainty. And look, I don't know where it's going to land, but I do know who's going to get me there, right? We can rely upon the Word of God. We can be faithful to the Word of God because God's word is reliable and is faithful, and God himself esteems his word even above his name. Jump with me over to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, chapter 4. We read, beloved, do not believe, right? Because there's so much, like I said, speculation. There's a lot of, and honestly, so that's all over. There's even speculation, unfortunately, in the church, right? Believers or people that promote themselves as teachers, right? And it concerns me, false teaching. It's become increasingly concerning to me because it, it appears to me that there's people trying to capitalize on the crisis. I don't know if you know that churches are being targeted specifically, meaning members of churches, reaching out, trying to get people to give money that aren't even churches, right? And claiming, right, trying to utilize this crisis in order to gain for themselves. And so, and a lot of false teachers, right? Maybe some of them have been around for years, trying to use this pandemic to promote themselves. And so it's important for us to do what God encourages us here in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world, right? And so the primary way, right, we test the spirits is by the word of God, right? Check this out. By this you know the Spirit of God. And so some people say, you know, if you think you're dealing with a demonic spirit, right, ask, you know, have you 1 John 4:2 to, right? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and that now that is now already in the world. So is he talking about just simply verbalizing something? Jesus is Lord, and that means that someone's a believer, or that means that it's a true spirit. No, but what he's talking about, confession has much more to do than just simply our words. It has to do with our life, right? Does our life demonstrate Christ, right? Does our life demonstrate a reliance upon the word of God, a loyalty to God's word, a faithfulness to God's word? And that's what he's talking about here. You know, Mormons say that Jesus Christ is Lord, but they believe that he's Lord of this planet. And guess what? If you're a good Mormon, you can have a planet too, right? Doesn't that sound great? Everybody can have their own planet. By the way, guys, you can have all the wives you want. That's what they say. It's not the same Jesus. They talk about Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible, right? Others say that Jesus is Lord, but he was just a man. Others say that Jesus is Lord and he's only God and he's not a man. Then how could he die for our sins, right? All sorts of different thoughts, right? Different words, different sayings that perhaps sound good, but aren't the truth, right? And the reality is what he's talking about here, testing the spirits, seeing if it's true. Is it consistent, right? Is their life consistent, right, with God's word? That's how we know. Are we being faithful to God's word? Jump with me real quick to 1 Thessalonians, doing a little Bible surf. And I'm from California, but when I moved to Southern California, I never really got into surfing. I was kind of too old, and I didn't want to look like a kook. That's what they call them when you try to surf and you can't. They call you a kook. And so I got into boogie boarding a little bit and had some fun. I did try surfing one time in Hawaii, and I ran into somebody, so wasn't such a good experience. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So now I stick to Bible surfing, right? Going to different passages. No judgment for my good friends who are surfers, right? Looks like a lot of fun. I wish I could do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Again, we're encouraged. Test all things. Hold fast that what is good, right? Test all things. Hold fast. That was, how do we test things? By the word of God, right? And admittedly, over time, as God's word gets into us, and as we learn more about the Lord, we gain a sense, right? At work, I call it the smell test, right? I oversee a claims area, and sometimes claims will come in, and it just doesn't pass the smell test, right? You know, they come up with a story, and one of these days I'll bring in maybe some examples, but you know, what they're saying happened and what actually happened, you know, just doesn't make sense. You know, they stub their toe and they need back surgery, or you know what I mean, or whatever. You know, it doesn't pass the smell test. It just doesn't seem right. Well, similarly, as time goes on, as we gain a deeper and a stronger understanding of God's word, right, we kind of can tell maybe quicker, right, when something we test it and it's not true. But at the end of the day, it goes back to the word of God, because it's God's word and the spirit dwelling in us that resonates whether or not this is true. But if it's of the Lord, it's always going to be consistent with the scriptures. And so jump with me to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Sometimes I think I should mark them, but I like the challenge of trying to find it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, because there are others, right? And you see some of this now, by the way, that you need this special understanding that only I have. Right? If I ever say that, someone please slap me, right? You need this special understanding, or you have to read my book, right, in order to get this. Or you have to travel to this city and gain this, you know, blessing or whatever it is to truly understand, right, or truly have insight. Check this out here. Peter addresses that very thing very wisely and very grateful. In 2 Peter verse 1 and chapter 20, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? It means that those folks out there that say, we have this esoteric, deep understanding that you can only gain from us, are false, right? Because there's no prophecy, which is speaking forth God's word, understanding God's word. None of it is a private interpretation. In other words, what God has said in his word is to be revealed to all people, right? There's denominations that have at least historically taught, you know, you need to hear from the priest or the preacher or whatever. And while teaching is important and good and a very big part of our lives, we're to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together to grow and to understand God's word, to be in fellowship. We learn a lot from each other, right? Through relationship. And again, like I said, that might be look a little different today, but it's absolutely still possible and maybe requires a little more intentionality, but that relationship, you know, my pastor used to call some people in our lives, right? Not his, but well, probably his too, right? But all of ours, brother and sister sandpaper. In other words, there's people that God puts into our lives to help kind of fine tune us a little bit, right? And over time, I mean, I can't say that I like thoroughly enjoy that, but over time, I have come to appreciate that changes me, and I become grateful for that in my life. And so, nevertheless, right, test all things. Know that there is nothing that is of private interpretation. What God has revealed is for all of us, right, to draw near to him. The word says, and because we know we can rely upon the word of God, right, James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Because God says it, you can rely upon it. Right, but don't get distracted by those who will think you need to get it my way, right? I love Calvary Chapel, verse by verse teaching, absolutely changed my life. That's why I'm very passionate about it. If you haven't noticed, about God's word and learning God's word by going through God's word. I'm not sure how else to learn it. Right, very very thankful for that. Wasn't always that way. You can ask my sister, who I used to argue with about Calvary Chapel and say, I'll never go to a Calvary Chapel, so quit inviting me. You know, God has an interesting way of working. Yet, we don't say that Calvary Chapel is the only way. I don't say you need to listen to me to understand anything because first of all, it's not true, right? And God's word says there is no private interpretation. There's nothing hidden that you can't discover, right, by getting into God's word. And so don't listen to those who would try to draw you just into their thinking or that they're something that they have that you have to send in your $20 bill, right? They have these, you know, wallets that, you know, for $19.95, you send in, you know, your $19.95 and they'll send you a wallet. And my question is, why don't they just open the wallet and take out a $20 bill and send me the wallet for free, right? If it's such a great wallet, you know. And if their faith is so strong, these people are, anyways, I won't get going because time here. But 1 Peter chapter 5, again, about faithfulness by Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, guess what, in which you stand. Because God is faithful to us. And we shelter in him, and we shelter in his grace. Right? And so realize God is always faithful to his word and to his people. And as a result, it's super important to follow him. And then as we wrap up, understand that Solomon's wealth, his wisdom, his fame, and even the favor that he had could not prevent his death, right? And so it's important to be ready. Jump back with me real quick as we wrap up here into the last few verses. Verse 41, now the rest of the acts of Solomon, all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? And the period that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. Then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. In spite of the great blessing upon Solomon's life, right? In spite of the very strong start in Solomon's life, in spite of 20 years later, this another kind of special visitation that Solomon had, right? In spite of all of this, Solomon met with the exact same fate that we all will one day. He died. And it's super important for us to make sure that we are ready. And the way that we are ready is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the way that we can be forgiven of our sins, right? The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the truth is we can be justified freely by his grace. And the way that we receive that, right, the way we shelter in the grace of God is by coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We've all sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God, but we can be forgiven by placing our trust, our faith, in a loving and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship, a relationship with that person. Right? And it's interesting, that passage, he's actually speaking to the church at Ephesus, right? He's speaking to the church. But it's absolutely applicable to us as believers as well, right? Are we at a place where we've accepted the reality that we're sinners in the need of forgiveness? And have we reached out and accepted that forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ? Placed our trust, placed our faith. You know, I've talked here before. We have chairs here at Calvary Chapel, and I remember as we were shopping them out, they hold up to 1,000 pounds, and so they'll easily hold me, right? But as much as I believe that, it's really of no import or no consequence. My belief, my faith, if you will, in those chairs, isn't really activated until I go sit down or stand. I wouldn't recommend it, but I've had to reach things high from time to time and go stand on the chairs. Ladders are better, by the way. I place my faith by sitting down in that chair. And we place our faith in Jesus by relying upon him. And we rely upon him by trusting in his word. By literally asking for forgiveness, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And literally, we get to enjoy that interactive and loving relationship as we place our trust, we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage, right, if you're in a place of needing to enter into that relationship, we encourage you to just really acknowledge that to the Lord. I mean, you're saved by the decision, I believe, but we acknowledge it to the Lord through prayer, right? Confessing that we've sinned, asking him for forgiveness, asking him to come into our lives, to fill us with his Holy Spirit, which he empowers us to live for him, thanking him for forgiving us, and then committing ourselves to following him all the days of our lives. And it's really as simple as that decision, and then beginning this lifelong journey of walking with him. And I want to close with one more passage in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, the first five verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith, right? We place our faith in him, into this grace, guess what? In which we stand. I love that. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, right? We're in a time of difficulty right now. Not the great tribulation by any means, but we're in times of trouble. He says we glory in that, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. I hope that we find such hope, right, as we persevere through this time in relationship with the Lord. And he closes, wraps up verse 5 there. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by his Spirit. And I love that truth that God has done it. I just have to release it. I just have to let it flow. And so my prayer for you today is that you will shelter in the grace of God, right? Maybe you find yourself, you know, none of us are alone, right? We might feel physically alone, but none of us are alone in this trouble, this tribulation that's going on. But it doesn't have to be the end of us, right? Right? Because trouble, tribulation produces character, and character produces hope. So let's by the grace of God and the power of the Spirit living through us, let's take this time and turn it into a positive, a productive time in our spiritual walk, in our relationship with the Lord. And so I encourage you to either place your faith for the first time if you haven't before, or renew that faith in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through this amazing time because of his amazing grace in which we stand. Let's close together in prayer. God, thank you so much for the fact that you are our refuge. God, you are our hope. You are our strength. Thank you for your word that we can rely upon. Thank you for Jesus, who dwells in us as believers, in your Spirit, which lives through us and is all around us. God, thank you for your love. And I pray this morning for anyone who has never experienced that or who hasn't walked in that, that today you would just wrap them in a sense of your mercy and your grace and your love. And God, I pray for all of us that as we go forth today, Lord, we would just shelter in and enjoy the love and grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. For you are worthy. And we pray these things, and we ask these things, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.